Well, I'll have them look at that too, but thank you very much, Wayne. So here we have Rob Norton looking at nitrogen removal in a long-term experiment. And you'll just have to function without me, which I'm sure you can do without a problem. And I'll be back as soon as I can.
The rate things are going. This might be the last presentation of the day.
If that screen goes out.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Thank you, and I'll try to speak up. And what I want to talk about today was the results of a long-term fertiliser experiment that's been running in Australia, and it's been supported by one of our major fertiliser companies called Incitec Pivot. And the two gentlemen who are co-authors on this paper, they actually did all the work, so they're important. Just to give you a little of a backstory, Australian grains industry is based in the green area, which is between maybe 600 millimetre average annual rainfall and 300 millimetres average annual rainfall. Australia produces somewhere between 20 and 30 million tonnes of wheat per year. And barley, sorghum and canola are the next three biggest crops. The area I come from is in Victoria in the south, where the red arrow is, and that's about 420 millimetres average annual rainfall, and it's sort of in the middle of the wheat cropping area of the winter cereal growing country. The long-term site was established in 1996, and it was established as a factorial combination of five N rates and four P rates, with no nitrogen applied in the legume phase. Initially, the nitrogen was applied either up front or as split 50-50 between stem elongation between sowing and stem elongation. And each year the site was sown to a different crop. In the graphic, in the picture there, it's sown to canola. The soil samples, grain harvest, and nutrient contents were measured. The experiment is a modern rotation that is direct drilled, zero cultivation, stubble retained, and it's in that 400 millimetre on a vertisol, so a reasonably heavy clay soil. Over the journey, the crops that have been sown are basically listed there: barley, chickpea, lentil, canola, wheat. And in 1 year, we grew a fodder oat crop mainly for weed control, but that was harvested as a hay crop. The rotation was basically canola, wheat, barley, and then a pulse crop, either lentil or chickpea. And that's pretty much the common farming rotation that growers would be using in that region. The main effects, without going into the details of the interactions, just to say that you can see from this graphic, the duck at the bottom. People don't play cricket, so you probably wouldn't know what a duck was, but that's where you make nothing. And that over the years, there were two complete failures in that experiment due to drought. In the other 17 years where there were crops grown, 16 of the 17 years showed a significant nitrogen response. 16 of the 17 years showed a different significant phosphorus response. 2 out of 13 years there was a significant timing response, and 7 out of the 17 years there was an interaction between nitrogen and phosphorus. The nature of that interaction was that unless P was present, there was no nitrogen response. So that was a pretty important lesson about balanced nutrition. There are many ways we can evaluate this in yield, soil test change, etc. And I just want to focus on the nitrogen effects in this presentation. In other places I've talked about the phosphorus effects. These are the yield averages, some of the soil organic carbon changes, the mineral nitrogen change to 90 centimetres and the pH change averaged over all the phosphorus treatments with soil samples taken at the conclusion of the experiment in 2015, which is after harvest. And what we can see there is that there is a significant overall yield response. Yield response is significant between 0 and 20 and also between 40 and 80, but the 20 kilograms of N was equivalent to the 40 and the 80 and the 160. So there was responsive. You talked about modest yields. These are the field yields we get in Australia, and that's pretty typical. That's a yield of averaged over all the crops. The organic carbon levels, there was no significant effect of nitrogen on organic carbon over the 19 years of the experiment. There was a huge amount of nitrogen found deep in the soil under the 160 nitrogen rate, and there was also a significant effect on soil pH. The soils are quite alkaline, quite strongly buffered, but traditional science says if you leach nitrate you'll decrease the soil pH, and traditional science is right. So we have clearly seen that soil pH decline with high nitrate leached into the subsoils. So where did the excess nitrogen go? Well, the organic carbon levels and the total soil nitrogen levels did change. We did see a small change in C2N ratios, and that's probably because of the mineral nitrogen increase, not necessarily the total soil nitrogen increase. So we saw modest changes in those soil nitrogen fractions. We're actually still doing the soil carbon fractionation to see what labile carbon fractions were there. We know in these soils there's quite a reasonable level of inorganic carbon, of charcoal, which does buffer some of the changes. If we looked at the mineral nitrogen at depth, this is a new story about nitrate leaching. The rates that we'd used, the 160 and the 80 kilogram N rates, are well in excess of the sorts of rates that farmers would be using. Farmers would tend to use 60 to 80 kilograms of N, and even at those lower rates, there's very little nitrate accumulation down the profile. But the 80 kilogram rate, there was 30 or 40 kilograms of N down in the subsoil, and as I mentioned, the 160 is off the scale. Interesting thing about the nitrogen and the phosphorus interaction was that we did see a significant increase in organic carbon due to phosphorus, and that's probably because of the phosphorus stimulating effect on legumes and therefore nitrogen fixation. And we did do some studies to look at nitrogen derived from atmosphere using natural abundance, and we certainly saw that what phosphorus was doing was not increasing the proportion of nitrogen fixed from the atmosphere, is just increasing the growth of the legumes, and so therefore increasing the total amount of nitrogen fixed. We also calculated some balances over time, looking at the nitrogen fixed plus the nitrogen applied versus the nitrogen removed in the crop, and we had no allowance there for losses due to denitrification, losses due to leaching beyond the root zone. But we certainly, what we saw was that at about the rate at around 9 kilograms of phosphorus and 40 kilograms of nitrogen, there was an approximate nitrogen balance, so that input and output were very similar compared to, you know, a reduction in nitrogen, reduction in soil nitrogen with the lower phosphorus level, and at the lower nitrogen level, and at the higher, a huge accumulation of nitrogen. We looked at that balance over time, and I suppose this was the interesting thing for us, was that this graphic is of the progressive balance over the 19 years of the experiment. And during that time, this line is the zero nitrogen, and this is the 40 kilograms of nitrogen, and this is the 80 kilograms of nitrogen. The interesting thing for us was that the progressive balance over time increased, so we had a surplus with the 40 kilograms of nitrogen that built up. And remember that, of course you would remember, that the 2 years of drought actually still had nitrogen applied, and that nitrogen wasn't completely lost from the system because it was redrawn later on in the experiment as the... It's a bit touchy, this mouse pad. So that the nitrogen start was redrawn from the soil, soil nitrogen pools, whether they were organic pools or what, we don't know, but it was not lost from the system. So we calculate some efficiencies from that, and the marginal efficiencies are the change in yield over nitrogen supplied, or the change in nitrogen removed over nitrogen supplied, and the partial factors are yield over nitrogen supplied and yield, nitrogen recovered over nitrogen supplied. And again, we go back to the point that in terms of the balance, about 40 kilograms of N was a balanced figure for that environment, and that is equivalent to offtake. So balancing input and offtake is quite a reasonable strategy in this environment. We just started the talk again, so it doesn't matter, just start your clock. So in summary, what we found from 19 years of this experiment was that in the N balance, up until 2009, the nitrogen was built up, and then it's been progressively drawn down since then. About 80 kilograms of nitrogen is about balanced, 92% removal to use if you exclude the nitrogen derived from the atmosphere. It emphasises the importance of P when you're doing a nitrogen study, because if there's no P, you have less N removed, and so you build an N surplus up. It also confirmed that even huge excesses in nitrogen have not burned up the soil organic carbon, the soil organic matter. There is an acidification that's a consequence of that, but that's in the topsoil. And even at the 160 kilogram N rate, we could still find nearly 700 kilograms of nitrogen leached down to 170 centimetres. And the thing that we took out of this in terms of farms, for farmers, is that nitrogen is persistent, is moderately persistent in this environment over time. It's a reasonably benign environment. That's my 12 minutes. Yeah. It's a reasonably benign environment where nitrate leaching does occur, but it's still a heavy soil. It's a relatively dry environment, so we don't have very little, we have very little denitrification, and so the potential losses are quite low, and that's a nice reaffirmation for growers. So with that, I'd like to invite you to hear more about nitrogen at the end of next year at Melbourne, which is in Melbourne, where the International Nitrogen Conference is. Melbourne is the world's most livable city, so you're very welcome to come and live with us and hear more about nitrogen. And papers, call for papers is now open if you go to the website. Thank you.
Very good. So we have about a minute and a half or so for questions, if there's any.
Hello.
Hey.
So 40 kilogram input is a lot. So you average have 2.5% rent. So you basically assume 2% nitrogen in the grain.
Yep.
2%. So you remove a 45 kilogram.
Yep.
Nitrogen. So really the nitrogen efficiency is more than 100%.
It's about, well, remember we've got nitrogen derived from the legume phase as well. So in terms of recoveries, we're nearly recovering all the nitrogen that we could account for going in as derived from atmosphere and from fertiliser. So the loss, and if we, that's at the lower rates. If we then account for nitrate leach that we could recover, we could nearly account for all the nitrogen.
Because fertiliser normally puts broadcasting, isn't it? And inevitably, you lose some as ammonia without that, 10%
would be minimum. Yeah. Nitrogen was all drilled at seeding.
Oh.
Which is not farmer practice, because farmers would tend to put a small amount at seeding and then work out how much they would put on as the season unfolded. So,
We're going to have to wrap up just so that we can stay on time, but